to you. It is time now for the Life You've Always Wanted, brought to you by the Springfield Marriage and Family Institute. And your host this morning, as usual, is WK and Ken Boyce. And good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, everyone.
Glad to have you here.
Glad to be here.
I'll do a little mic check here this morning.
Test, test, 1, 2.
We do have everything ready to go. You're on mic.
Well, welcome this morning. We have in the studio with us Leslie Willard, one of our counselors over at Springfield Marriage and Family Institute. Good to have you this morning, Leslie.
Good morning.
And good morning, Ken.
Good morning.
The reason we're out of breath, we have literally run into the studio. You ever got caught behind one of the trains here in Springfield?
Nothing you can do about it.
Nothing you
just
can do about
it. Just sit
that.
There and wait.
Springfield's expressways that aren't. I mean, that whether it's Kansas or Chestnut, you're not going to be expressing anywhere.
Oh, I'll tell you. It's a beautiful day here in the Ozarks, and we're glad that you've joined us this morning and hope that what we have to share with you this morning is enlightening, instructive, and helpful to you or to someone that you may know. This morning we're talking about how do I know my child needs counseling. This morning, as we begin, I want to point out that Leslie will be holding a workshop at the Children's Garden Discovery School this Wednesday evening at 6:30. Leslie, tell us about that, please.
Yes, I was asked to lead a workshop, Jessica from the Children's Garden. And what we're going to do is try to provide parents with some tools that they can use with their children that might help them regain control. A lot of parents can tell you that it seems like the kids somehow are taking over. They feel like they're no longer in control. And so these are some skills that you can use for your children.
And that's going to be this Wednesday night between 6:30 and 7:30. This is a real easy place to find. You just go south on Campbell out of Springfield, and it's the corner of South Campbell and CC there. So right as you're going into Nixa, it'll be off on the right-hand side. So very easy to get to. Seating is a little bit limited on this one, so please give Jessica a call today. You can reach her at 725-6899. 725-6899. Give her a call and say, my wife and I, we want to show up, get in on that free seminar there.
And might mention also that child care is being provided. So if you have a small child and need someone to watch your child while the workshop is going on, Jessica and some of the staff there at the Children's Garden Discovery School are providing that child care, that's free child care, while you attend the seminar given by Leslie. And really encourage you to call Jessica, again at 725-6899, and come to a seminar. It's excellent material, and you'll leave with some very practical things that you can use immediately with your children.
Matter of fact, I used a couple of these techniques this week with my daughter as she started a new school this year. There are always issues when child ends up in transition, and I actually got to put some of this to use. So it's good information. It's practical. It's something you can put your hands on and see the effects immediately.
And it works.
And it works.
Well, how did it go with your child?
Worked really well.
Okay, great.
Yeah, worked really well. Given the moment, be able to repeat back to them what I've heard and be able to process it. Really worked well.
Great.
There was a small boy that began screaming at his mom, and he just screamed at her for a couple of minutes, and she finally tired of this and says, stop screaming at me. Why are you screaming at me? And he says, because you screamed at me first. A lot of times our behavior influences our children's behavior more times than we often realize. How emotional we are, or how stressed we are, how depressed, whatever our emotions are, affects our children because it affects our behavior and then our child's. Okay?
And yes, you're right. A lot of times we do not realize how our emotions are affecting our children. We may think that we are being the parent in control and we are trying to use discipline with our children, but we're finding out that the child actually acts out even more. And so that's what we'd like to do, is figure out how to change that. What do we need to do so we recognize that?
Yeah, how many of us parents have not just been bewildered by what in the world is going on? Why is my child behaving this way, and what can I do about it? And it seems like no matter what I've tried, nothing really works or changes the behavior in a very positive way. And all of us can use more things to do that make us more aware of ourselves, but also more aware of our children and how we can positively affect their discipline and their behavior. Yeah.
And quite often it boils down to that child's needs. Is the child's needs being met? And a way we can figure that out, we have some indicators of children whose needs aren't being met. And this would be a child that demonstrates behavior inappropriate to his or her age, such as temper tantrums that occur frequently in a 10-year-old child. This is not something you would expect from a 10-year-old. Or the child seems angry all the time, seems anxious all the time, or has panic attacks. The child has trouble eating or sleeping on a consistent basis. The child is persistently defiant in the home. You might notice a depressed mood, tearfulness, a lack of interest or motivation. Or they might seem to need increased or decreased need for sleep, or significant increases or decreases in the child's weight or appetite. They may have a poor attitude. They may demonstrate increased irritability. They may have excessive guilt or poor self-esteem. You may see them fighting with their peers or authority figures. Or possibly, if it's quite serious, recurrent thoughts or discussion of death.
Mm. Yeah. It's just those things seem to kind of snowball. It's amazing how you get busy in life trying to determine whether or not it's just a growth phase that a child's working through, just developmentally, going through the social aspects, finding out how to relate with peers, etc., versus seeing one thing happen and then see another. And it tends to snowball, and by the time a lot of parents, I think, get down to the point where they don't know what to do because it's gotten so bad. How do you know when to bring a counselor in and be able to help work with a child and work through these things? How do we know? And that's what we're talking about today. Mm-hmm. The show today is a part of a three-part series that we're discussing. So if you missed last week, we talked about how do I know as an individual whether counseling would help me. This week we're talking about how do we help children? When is it time to bring a counselor in and be able to help build their needs? And, of course, next week we'll be talking about couples. So if you didn't get to hear last week, feel free to go to our website, springfieldmfi.com, and click on the radio archive there to hear last week's show.
You know, as parents, we struggle a lot with ourselves and just our daily life, just our everyday life. And we have so many stresses and so many pressures that just attack us every day. And we just don't have a lot of energy, perhaps, or a lot of time, or a lot of just emotional resources to be aware of all that's involved in our child's life, all that's going on within our child. And sometimes we can even though we don't mean to, we can discount our child or not be paying attention to them and just attribute whatever they're doing that's just childish behavior, that's just being a kid. And it could be anywhere from a toddler age all the way up through teenage or even late teenage years. And just attribute that, well, that's just part of growing up, that's just part of being a child, this is part of being a kid, and really discount or not become aware of what's really going on with our child until we take a closer look or something happens. And usually it's when perhaps our child begins to break something or begins to hurt something or someone, begins to act out in a way that's drawing other people's attention to that behavior. Many times it is school. Sometimes it is a babysitter. Could be any number of people who say, you know, I've noticed this behavior in your child. Do they normally act this way? Then, as parents, we're kind of shocked and say, well, I've not really noticed that. And it's not that we're a bad parent. It's not that we intend to discount any behavior or not be aware of what's going on with our children. We're just awfully busy. And many times we're so distracted by our own responsibilities and pressures or stresses that it seems to be brand new information when it hits us in the face.
If you'd like to join in our discussion this morning, if you have questions, you know, there's an old joke, God didn't give us a manual when he gave us the child.
So that is so true.
There isn't a how-to guide that arrives when the child arrives. If you'd like to give us a call in studio, give us a call at 862-9977. If you're outside the area or listening via the internet, you can give us a call at 800-375-0056. It looks like we have Don here in Springfield.
Good morning, Don.
Yes, sir. I heard your promo speaking about children. I've been figuring out why I had problems. Believe it or not, listeners of Kid MTO, and your show comes in viable right off the nail on the head. Children adopt the mom's behavior whether they realize it or not. And I tried to model my mind. I had trouble with identity crisis. And I had struggled because I didn't have a father. I want to be transparent open with your listeners to maybe help out. I think I was angry toward God and toward the world. I was trying to be a lady because I didn't have a father image. You know, I've had struggles with 20, 30 years ago. Oh, my, we have an identity crisis. We're trying to feminize men, and women are trying to be like men. So I turned to preachers, the Word of God, to give me that manly image. Dr. Adrian Rogers, he used the word infeminate sissy. We need to raise our boys to be like men and women to be like women, gentlemanly and ladylike. And I want to compliment a lot of ladies I've seen walking by this morning for dressing modestly. It's beautiful. It seems like spring outside. But then second, you said you sometimes talk about politics. I hope they vote on those judges before the Senate, before people to call their congressmen and senators. And I'm calling on Christians to pray that they'll stop abortion on demand, because we're killing babies, and God must grieve at his heart. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Don.
Thank you very much, Don. In fact, I hope everyone votes. I encourage everybody to get out and vote, both men and women of legal age and who have registered, to get out and vote and allow your voice to be heard in that way. And Don is right. You know, the most important influence in our children's lives are the parents. A lot of people have a hard time believing that. I talked with a parent just the other day, and they could not believe that because of everything that the child is just inundated with, all this information and all these peer pressures and all these types of things. Research is showing, though, that the most current research, that parents are still the most important influence in a child's life.
And that would include caregivers as well.
Absolutely,
yes. Some families do not have parents, but anyone that's taking care of a child.
The caregivers, right.
Yes.
And I know there's some people out there going, I just don't believe that. Well, MTV the other day, MTV used to be music television. I don't know what it's become anymore. It's the lack of reality shows. But it used to be music television. MTV, anyway, did a survey talking to all the kids, asking them, what makes you happy? And believe it or not, it surprised them, because it wasn't sex, drugs, and rock and roll. Kind of the stereotypical answer, what you would think.
As most people think.
As most people think. The number one answer was time with family. That's what makes them happy.
Exactly. Those are the needs we're talking about. We all have a need to feel like we belong somewhere. We all have a need for love. We all have a need for safety and security. And if we don't provide those things for our children, then we end up with the children that start acting out. And if it's severe enough, we can actually end up with the children who are going out and blowing up schools. These are the children that bring guns to school. It's like those needs were never met. Their brains have not developed as they should have. They have lost the capacity to have empathy.
Those three greatest needs I always talk about: to be understood for who we are, to be accepted unconditionally, and be valued more than the whole world.
All right, I'm going to stop you right there. Can you say those again? Because I know there's a few people reaching for a pen and paper right now because they've asked me about those three greatest needs. Can you repeat that again?
Yeah, we're born with these needs, the three greatest needs that God made us with: to be understood for who we are, not for who people expect us to be, but for who we truly are. Then second of all is to be accepted unconditionally, not on the basis of how well we do or act or perform anything, but the fact that we are a creation of God, we are here in this place and this time, we have a purpose in life, and we need to be accepted unconditionally. Now, our behaviors aren't accepted unconditionally, and there's a big difference in accepting that, but accepting me, accept me unconditionally. And the third one is to be valued more than the whole world by one other significant person in our life, and usually that's a parent or a caregiver. It can be a grandparent. It can be an aunt or uncle or whoever it is. But somebody values us, and they express that value to us. They value us more than the whole world. They would sacrifice and do sacrifice for us. And so that's what I'm talking about. We have those needs, and to the extent that those needs are being fulfilled as a child, as Leslie, you said, then we flourish. And we become emotionally strong, and we're able to relate to other people effectively.
Yes.
When those needs are not being met, to the extent that they're not being met, then we feel like we're dying inside. And we begin to do or say anything to get attention because we feel invisible. It's kind of like being held underwater. When those needs are not being met, we feel like we're drowning. And we will fight, we will do whatever we have to do to get our head above water, to be able to breathe again. And that's how it feels when those needs begin to be met. That, wow, I am important. I have significance. I have worth. And I need that from people that I look up to.
Okay, and what if you're one of those parents out there saying, well, I never got that myself. Does that mean we should just give up and say, well, it was good enough for me. This is what I was raised with. I think not. I think there are still ways to take care of our needs as well.
That is so true.
Yes, and coming in, and if you need to seek a counselor out, you know, Springfield Marriage and Family Institute is one place that you can find counselors that can help you find your way to meet your own needs.
Okay. And it's never too late. we tell parents all the time, it's never too late to learn how to parent effectively. Even though you may not have received it yourself or had it modeled for you,
yes,
it's never too late to do that. And we have counselors, we have wonderful counselors at Springfield MFI who can help you learn the parenting skills to more effectively meet your children's needs.
A lot of people are thinking, well, do I need a counselor? How many people go back later in life and pursue an additional degree? How many people have gone back and actually changed their entire career? They went back to school to do that.
Oh, that's a lot of people, sure, yeah.
Why did they do that?
Oh, for a lot of reasons.
A lot of reasons, but mainly to be able to get knowledge that they didn't have, or to take on a role and responsibility that they didn't have the knowledge to fulfill, but that's where they were wanting to go in their life. If you're wanting to be a parent, and you're wanting to be a great parent, and your parents, quite frankly, sucked, it's not too late. You can take responsibility. You take the action, and you make it happen for your kids the way it didn't happen for you. But the fact that you stood up and decided, I'm going to do it better for myself, for my kids, for my family, that's the power you have. We can't change the past, but we do affect the future up to four generations away. So as we're looking back at our lives, we can say we made the difference. We did the best we could and be proud when the kids are raised. So it's our choice. It's our responsibility. We call for so many other things to seek advice or to seek counsel or to seek knowledge. If you want to learn how to be a better parent, to be a better spouse, give us a call at 882-6767. 882-6767. And talk with WK, talk with Leslie, talk with Ty or Marty. Any of the staff there, if you need to get in right now, if your family situation, you're sitting there going, we are just falling apart, we're arguing in the evening, we just spent all weekend trying to get away from each other, give us a call now. Because that's not healthy. That's not what we want to look back and say, this was our family. And there is always a way to make it better, and we'd love to help.
Especially if you're noticing in your children any of the characteristics that Leslie spoke of just a moment ago. You know, your child is angry or anxious or trouble eating or defiant, depressed or tearful or poor attitude or irritability or even fighting with peers or fighting with authority, whether it's parents, school, or whoever it may be. Or especially if they're having recurrent thoughts or discussion of death, please give us a call. We have help. Help is available. And it's a matter of learning how to do it differently. You're not a bad parent. You're not a bad parent. If you have a child who's having some difficulty, you're not a bad parent. It's just perhaps you need to learn how to parent differently and learn some parenting skills that you may not have grown up with, you may not have ever seen, or even know about. And it's so important that you come in to allow your children to get help that they need, or perhaps for you to get help that you need.
Exactly. And don't feel guilty. The guilt does not get you anywhere. It's simply you grew up with what you had. It was the best you had. So just find a way to do the right thing for your child. And at the same time, you'll be taking care of your own needs.
That is so true. And I appreciate Leslie so much because she has a love for children and a love for parents. She works so effectively with them. And if you'd like to meet Leslie and speak with her or listen to her as well this Wednesday evening at 6:30, she'll be at the Children's Garden Discovery School at a parenting seminar there from 6:30 to 7:30. It's free. There's free child care also available. Just need to give Jessica a call at 725-6899 to reserve your place because seating is rather limited there.
Number again?
725-6899.
And we'll be back. Do we really need counseling? I don't know. Maybe it's just me. I guess life's okay. It's not that bad. I know we're both working, and of course kids. But what happened? Do we need counseling? I don't even know if my spouse knows. Do I need counseling? If you're asking the question, if you've looked on the internet looking for answers, then make the call. Call the Springfield Marriage and Family Institute, 882-6767. The sooner you call, the easier life becomes. 882-6767.
You're listening to The Life You've Always Wanted, brought to you by the Springfield Marriage and Family Institute. Once again, your hosts, WK and Ken Boyce.
Good morning. If you're just joining us, we have Leslie Williard in the studio with us this morning. She's one of our counselors at Springfield Marriage and Family Institute. And this morning we're talking about children, and she works very well with children and with parents. We're talking about how do you know if your child needs to go to counseling? And so we talked about that the first half of our program this morning. Here on the second half, we're going to talk about that some more. To kind of summarize, what we're saying is all families have problems. All parents have parenting problems. All children have problems at different times. So how do we know that children maybe need a counselor, or perhaps you need to go to counseling with your child? We've talked about some characteristics of children who, over a period of time, this isn't just the one-day thing. This is over a period of time, perhaps a week or two or three, your child begins to develop characteristics that are just out of character for them. And they're tearful, they're angry, they're depressed. They're fighting with their peers, they're fighting with authority, fighting all kinds of things. And maybe you just don't know how to handle that. So that's what we've been talking about this morning. What about school problems? Problems at school. I know we're just getting back into school and classes have begun all across Missouri, Kansas, Oklahoma, and Arkansas. Children are back in school and they're facing a whole variety of issues perhaps that they've never faced before.
Yeah, you might start noticing things like a child that returns to more immature behavior, such as wetting the bed or sucking his or her thumb. They may throw temper tantrums or destroy toys. They may actually hurt their pets. Or if your child's teacher has commented that your child is not working up to his or her potential, this could be a sign that something's happening with your child.
Yes.
Your child's behavior is interfering with his or her ability to get along with peers or siblings. A child is having persistent difficulty in school or suddenly begins to experience difficulty in school. Maybe an outgoing child suddenly becomes shy or withdrawn. Or a shy or withdrawn child appears to be unable to cope with the social challenges of school. Perhaps your child is being bullied at school or is being a bully to others. Or if you, as a parent, feel as if your child is not responding to your parenting methods. If you've tried everything, you've tried the punishment, you've tried positive reinforcement, and you still can't get your child to act as the way you need them to act. If your child's school counselor course recommends counseling, that's a symptom.
And many times that is the case.
Yes. We receive a lot of referrals from school counselors. Mm-hmm. Or what if your child's grades start to fall, and it doesn't seem to be related to how hard he or she seems to be working?
Mm-hmm.
Perhaps your child is caught in a cycle of frustration and failure and shows an increasing lack of confidence and motivation. Or suddenly maybe your child is reluctant to go to school. They fear failure and criticism from others. Your child's teacher may report that he or she is acting out, becoming a behavior problem in class. Your child all of a sudden may say, "I'm too stupid. I'll never understand this stuff." Your child consistently says, "I give up." These are all signs telling you that something's going on with your child, and you really need to find out what that is and if treatment's necessary, or if the parent can simply learn a few techniques to help them help the child.
Mm-hmm. You know, children are no different than adults in this respect. Children begin to act out, just like adults do, when we feel like or we know we don't have the resources that we need to meet the pressures or to meet the stress or know how to make the changes or how to confront the issues of our life.
I was going to say that's one of the symptoms, is if we start arguing with our child at the child's level, if we start acting like our 7-year-old, arguing back and forth instead of being the parent, good indication we need to go talk to someone. You know, we talk a lot about these symptoms and signs that something may not be quite right. And a lot of these things are related to school. The reason is that that's where our children are spending a lot of time this time of year, is they're spending it in school. They're spending it around the kids at school, around the teachers at school. And so a lot of these signs and symptoms may not necessarily have anything to do with school, but that's where a lot of this is going to be seen. You're going to see it at home when the notes come back from the teacher going, "I'm not quite sure what's going on. You know, I know your child knows this, but the problem's here, they just didn't do." So these are all things that give us indications that we need to sit down and talk, we need to figure out a better way, and find out what really is causing some of the issues. My daughter came home the other day, and she's brand new to a new school this year. She is very smart, very bright.
She is, yes.
But when she came home, she was having trouble with math homework. And these are problems that I know she can do in her head. She just was not doing them. And my wife was kind of at odds with her, just didn't understand how to get, you know, "What's wrong? Why didn't you do this? Why didn't you understand how to do it right?" I said, "Kiana, is there something else? Because I know you know how to do this. What else is bothering you? Did something happen at school today?" And she said, "Yeah." I said, I didn't have anyone to play with. I sat under the tree at playground.
Yeah.
You know, the new friend she had met had met some other friends, and so she just didn't have someone there. And so there were some things that being a new kid at school, getting through the adjustment, making new friends, this was just a day that was not a good day for her. It had nothing to do with her homework. I knew she knew how to do it. She did it just sitting there talking to me, just bawling about it.
It was a very stressful day
for her. It was a stressful day for her. and to understand that it wasn't about the math at that moment. It had nothing to do with her homework or her ability to do her work in class. It was everything else that had happened to her.
Mm-hmm.
And if I didn't know to be able to ask her what had really happened or what, you know, what else had happened during her day, I'd just sit there and argued with her and grounded her and maybe even spanked her and sent her to her room.
Like a lot of parents do.
A lot of us do because that's we don't know what else to do. We're trying to do the best we can. But a lot of times as parents, we don't know what we don't know.
And children often do not know how to express their feelings.
Exactly. And so they're tied up inside, and the homework or the work, just their mind isn't on that right now. That's how it came out, was the fact that in this section of problems, she just, even though she knew how to do them, they were easy, she was reverting back in a lot of ways to stuff before kindergarten. She even made the comment, "Daddy, I don't want to grow up."
It's hard. Yeah.
You know, she wanted to be back to the way it was before. And a lot of these things, we're talking about symptoms. There are lots of different reasons things happen to children or things that they need help coping with. And one of them is switching to a new location, which we talk about. And you're going to see that in schools when they get into a new school and have difficulty moving in. Others are when the parents decide to split up or even divorce.
Yeah.
You know, that is so damaging to children, to take a family and to rip it apart. And from the kids' perspective, they have never known mommy and daddy to not be together. They think you've been that way all your life. That's just the way the kids are growing up. And so there are a lot of different situations that we're going to see these symptoms come out in school. And that's what you were talking about.
Yeah, you know, it's research shows that the old saying, as a lot of parents will say, it's better that we split up. It'd be better for the kids if we just went ahead and went our separate ways and we lived our own lives and we didn't have all that stress and all that tension in the home and just all that intense emotion. And the kids would really be better. Well, research shows that's not true. It's better for the kids if parents stay together. And the parents learn how to cope. The parents learn how to fight more effectively and how to resolve their differences. Even if there is ongoing stress in the home, it's still better for the parents to stay together. That's what research shows.
You know, I've never seen, and speaking on the parents, jump on that bandwagon, I have yet to see someone walk down the aisle and the minister ask, "Do you take her, take him?" And someone go, "Well, maybe."
Yeah.
It's always, "I do." And it's for life. And so if we really want to fess up and be responsible and be the adults, part of it starts with our marriage. And if we're having troubles in our marriage and it's affecting our kids, we need to do something about it as adults.
And we'll talk about this next week more in depth.
Exactly.
On the third part of this series. But you know, if your child's behavior lasts beyond a month or two, perhaps you're going through a divorce or after you've divorced, when they contrasting how they behaved before the breakup of your marriage and they now appear angry or more withdrawn or mouthy or sad, some children not coping well can act out by getting into trouble with the law or with school. Now, let's talk more about that. Can you tell us more about that?
Yes. Perhaps your child is not bouncing back to what they used to be. Behavior has changed, as we've mentioned. Or they, you know, definitely if they tell you that they're being sexually or physically abused, yes, you need to do something seriously.
Immediately.
Yes. Call the hotline. Social Services has a hotline that you need to call, or you can call us and we will call the hotline for
you. Yes.
Or if your efforts to help your child change their behavior continues to fail, you may now be feeling more angry and frustrated because whatever you do does not seem to be working. If you suspect your child is drinking or abusing drugs, you begin to see changes in your child's behavior that is common with kids who are abusing alcohol or drugs, please intervene immediately. Don't wait until it becomes such a serious problem that your child is gone beyond the point of help.
It never helps as parents to close our eyes to things that we're seeing.
Absolutely. Or if they show a lack of interest in the family, a change in friends, a drop in school grades, maybe a defensive attitude when they're asked about their behavior and how they spend their time. Dramatic changes in dress. I think we've all noticed children that start dressing, perhaps wearing a lot of black and the spiked hair. You know, what's behind that? A loss of interest in social activities. Maybe a depressed or agitated mood. Maybe their old friends are no longer coming by. These are all signs of possible abuse. Perhaps your child is no longer interested in doing what he or she once considered fun. No longer wants to play sports, date, or hang out with old friends. This can be a symptom of depression.
Yeah, to actively look at, and that's what I encourage us as parents and grandparents, to really focus in on our children's behavior. Take time every day to notice what's going on. I know we're all consumed with all the responsibilities we have, but our primary responsibility as parents are those children or that child. And we need to focus in, intentionally notice what's going on every day. Any changes, again, in attitude, dress, behavior, whatever it is.
What are some of the things that cause these actions to happen? We've talked one about divorce and then even just moving to a new area. What are some of the other things that happen? Because what we're talking about is recognizing the symptoms, but also recognize when these major events happen. What are some of the other major events that come up that really take a child's life and just turn it on its head?
You know, one of the biggest things that I've seen personally in my work, but also just in the research and what's going on in the schools today, is bullying. Mm-hmm. And how being bullied at school can completely change a child's temperament and how they dress and change them from a happy, positive, warm, loving, caring child to a withdrawn, sullen, angry, depressed, even hostile child who doesn't want to have anything to do with anybody. And they're very fearful. Their whole life is defined more by fear than anything else.
And if your child is on either side, if they are the one being bullied or the one doing the bullying,
that's true. Yeah.
Yeah, you need to step in and help that situation.
Yeah, because it doesn't go away. It doesn't go away. If our child is the one being bullied, our children need us.
Yes.
They need us to intervene. They need us to help them because they don't have the resources to resolve that issue many times. Or perhaps if our child's being bullied, so are a lot of other kids. Research is showing in all the school shootings that most of those children who went to school with a gun and carried out the shootings were the ones who were being bullied for several years prior to that. They were the outcast, and they began to fulfill that role at school. Again, those core needs not being met, understood, accepted, and valued.
Yes.
And when those are not met, we feel like we're dying.
Some of the other things is if we have children that lose a parent, and we have, you know, everything from auto accidents to mm-hmm. any number of things, illness, where a parent dies. Those are things that, or even a caregiver, whether it's a grandparent or someone else that's helping take care of
them. Or even a pet.
That's true. Even a pet.
Yeah.
Those have major impacts on children and their lives. Also, one that we don't think much here, but we have a lot of military families are people that are deployed. Mm-hmm. We have a lot of National Guard in the area where part or even both parents, in some cases, are deployed. And to have them that far away and out of their life for 12, 18 months is just absolutely devastating to a child. And to be able to work through that and have the ability to express things, talk about it, and work through it effectively to be able to grow and continue on with their life. Those are some major life-changing events. We've got a brochure that we've got at the Springfield Marriage and Family Institute talking about balancing our professional lives, because it's not just the military families. We have police, firemen, doctors, nurses, any of these professions.
In the people-helping professions.
In the people-helping professions, yeah. Where they will spend 18, 20 hours a day helping other people and not being with their families and trying to balance that. You know, when you've got the heart of a servant and someone that's wanting to take care of someone else and help people in general, and to lose your family is not a good thing. We want to help that as well. So if any of these things you're seeing, you know, that's part of my life. That happened in my life. We lost our pet. We lost our grandparent. We lost. Give us a call at 882-6767. That's the Springfield Marriage and Family Institute. The earlier we call, the easier it is to be able to make adjustments and get through life. So many times we wait until our life is just completely broken apart to try to go in and sweep up the pieces and glue it all back together.
Mm-hmm.
If we start to know these cracks and fissures and we start to notice the stress in our families and things are just starting to come apart, that's the time to call. How do we know when our children need counseling or when we need mm-hmm. it as parents? It's when things start coming apart, not after they've completely blown up.
Right. In fact, what we know as professional counselors is that the sooner your children begin to receive help, if they are experiencing these stresses and these behaviors, these characteristics, the sooner they receive help, the better they do. And so it's absolutely essential that if you notice this in your children or grandchildren, that you help get them the counseling that they need as soon as possible. Leslie, again, we have your workshop coming up this Wednesday. Could you tell us about that one more time again, please?
Okay, what we're going to do is teach parents a few skills that can help them bring back some control in their lives. Okay.
And that's at the Children's Garden Discovery Center at Highway 160 in CC. They're in Nixa at 6:30 Wednesday night. give them a call at 725-6899.
Talk to Jessica. Free childcare is available.
This is The Life You've Always Wanted, brought to you by the Springfield Marriage and Family Institute. It's your life.
It's your choice. Make it a great one.